Perfect.
Alright, we just have one more thing I'd like to add to Pasukas. Paragdal Pasukas. Yehonah wanted to die. So we spoke about the different reasons why he wanted to die. The Alshich sums it up. He's saying there's only one reason why a tzaddik like Yehonah wants to live. And he takes it from that angle. Why would anybody want to live in this world? A tzaddik. There's only, you know, this world is not geschmack for tzaddikim. There's a lot in here that's repulsive. The environment is noxious. It's filled with noxious fumes. Why would a tzaddik want to live? A tzaddik wants to live because Olam Hazeh is the only way, it's the only gateway to Olam Haba. You cannot get to Olam Haba without going through Olam Hazeh first. And that's why they love Olam Hazeh. If they have any love for Olam Hazeh, or any enjoyment in Olam Hazeh, it's because every moment spent in Olam Hazeh is earning Olam Haba. And that's it. There's nothing else that's attractive but Olam Hazeh to a tzaddik. And Yehonah was a tzaddik. Yehonah viewed himself as a sinner, as a chayte. And this belief was reinforced by the death of the Kikayon, and the sun beating down on his head, and his festering wounds, and his sensitive skin, and his lack of hair. What
was the Kikayon?
The eucalyptus tree. He viewed this as a sign from a Kaddish Baruch Hu that he's not earning Olam Haba points in Olam Hazeh. So the Alshich says that if someone's in Olam Hazeh and he's not earning Olam Haba by being in Olam Hazeh, his tenure in Olam Hazeh is not earning him Olam Haba, then there's no point in life. Why live? And this is a very high madriga. Let's start Pasuk Tes. Vayem Elohim al Yehonah. Hashem said to Yehonah. You'll notice he uses the same words as before. Hahetiv Charlach. Is it good that you're in pain? Hahetiv Charlach. Is it proper? Is it understandable that you're in pain? Alekikayon. Due to the loss of the eucalyptus tree, Yehonah, it bothers you. Does it hurt? It hurts that you don't have the eucalyptus tree shading you from the harmful rays of the sun. Do you feel a sense of loss? Because Yehonah was so happy when he had it, and his happiness was taken away from him. So now he's devoid of happiness. He's in pain. Yeah, the pain. I feel a pain approaching death. Yes, it hurts. Pain. The mom says, Hashem was asking him, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the eucalyptus tree occupies a very small, minute, very small and minute role in all of God's creation. It's one tree. It wasn't there before. It just sprouted up. It disappeared almost overnight. You know, it's not even a dot on the map of history. It's not even a neutrino on the map of history. It's a subatomic particle. It's like, what is this? Such a small thing. And you're in such pain because of it? Do you want to die? Because you lost one kikayon? And the Malbim says that Yehonah answered Hashem, it's not the kikayon. I mean, you know, he says, it's not the kikayon. I mean, you know, I could lose a million kikayons, I won't feel this kind of pain. It's not the Yehonah answered. Hashem was trying to bring out a point. And Yehonah followed. He was a good Talmud of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he followed the Mahalach. So he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the kikayon. It's me. It's not the kikayon, it's me. I'm at the gate. I'm at the gates of death. This Kikuyon was safeguarding me.
He says he wanted to die.
Yeah, that's what Abarbanel says. Abarbanel learns chat in this pasuk, like we'll see in a moment. Very good, Laser. But the Malbim learns that he's expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not the Kikuyon, it's what the Kikuyon was preventing. It was shielding me, it was protecting me. And to me, I mean a great deal to me. To me, that occupies a place of great significance. At Shari Mavis, this standing between me and death. You know, if a guy falls off a cliff, you know, he gets too close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, and he falls off. And as he's falling, he sees a little vine, or a little sapling, emerging from a fissure in the rock. As he's falling down, he grabs onto it with his pinky. He's holding onto it for dear life. And it stops his fall. And he's just hanging there. Until they come with the helicopters to get him out. That little thing is very, it's a very, very chashuv zach. Oh, it's a little thing. You know, if it would be there, it wouldn't be there. Would the world be such a different place if it wasn't there? Well, to him, it makes a difference. The Abarbanel learns differently. The Abarbanel, I said, Hashem asked you, you know, he said, yeah, I don't, explain something to me. A number of psukim before. Pasuk Ches, that's one place. Pasuk Gimel, you would, I'll use the expression, you were dying to die. You're davening, you're praying, you're begging to die. And like all the commentaries say, he thought he was a sinner, he's a chil Hashem, destruction of Klai was going to come because of him. All you want to do is die. And then when the Kikuyon grew over your heart, all of a sudden you're so happy. Why? Because you're not going to die. And now the Kikuyon, you know, when it dries up, so now you're angry because you're going to die. Yena, be consistent, make sense. That's how. Hahetiv Chaolach. Does it make sense that you're in such pain? You're in such pain because you're going to die. I thought that's what you wanted. You got what you wanted. Why are you so pain? Why are you in such pain? And according to the Abarbanel, Yaina answered. I didn't say the answer yet. According to Abarbanel, Yaina answered, that's not the death that's causing me, you know, to express this pain. It's the pain of death. He said, I wanted to die. He wanted to die. And he was ready to die. And he was willing and able. He wanted to die. But the pain of death he can't take. And this is something in the Gemara said, the Amorayim said, if they would have been exposed, you know, the Gemara talks about Kiddushim Shemayim. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were given a choice. Bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol or be thrown into a furnace. And they chose to be thrown into a furnace. And Baruch Hashem, they didn't feel any pain and they came out alive. And that was the nice. But they didn't know that. I mean, Chazal tell us, Ein Semknal Nes, that if you rely on a Nes, you think that the Nes is going to save you, then there's no Mesirus Nefesh. If there's no Mesirus Nefesh, Hashem doesn't bring the Nes. There's a famous Medrash with Avram and his brother Nachar, or Haran. Avram's brother Haran. Avram and Haran were both taken by Nimrod. And Nimrod asked Avram Avinu, are you going to believe in me, in Nimrod, or are you going to believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu? And Avram says, I believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu that created the sun, you know, the world, the sun and the moon and the earth. And Nimrod chucks him into the fire. And he comes out. And then he asks Haran, you believe in me or do you believe in the God of Avram? He said, I believe in the God of Avram. Chuck him in and he burns up. Because he went second.
Why would he try chucking him in?
Well, you see, what do you think? But you think there would the die?
Well, he saw Avram came out.
Because not everyone has the same skillset. It's not like a magic incantation. You say, I believe in God, you get protected. You have to believe it. And Horn was not on the same level as Avram. But if he would have been Moshe Nefesh, if he would have gone first, Hashem would have saved him. That would have, you know, that decision would have brought him up. He didn't. He wasn't on that Madrega. And if he would have gone first, he wouldn't have chosen to go in.
Right, right.
He just wouldn't, you know, wouldn't have been saved. So the Gemara says that if, instead of offering Hanani, Mishael, Vazai the choice of being thrown into the furnace, they would have beat them, they would have tortured them, they would have bowed down to the idol. It's a lot easier to give up, to forfeit your life in the service of a Kaddish Baruch Hu than to withstand torture. There's a breaking point. All men have a breaking point. The Gemara says this. All men have a breaking point. And Yaina reached his. Okay, Charali, I have pain, Admavis, until the death comes, I have the pain. Charali, Admavis, it's the pain until the death I can't take. When it hurts, you cry out. I mean, you'll notice in this pasuk, when Hashem's talking to him, it just uses the shem Elohim. It doesn't say Hashem Elohim. Hashem is not being compassionate at the moment. It's din. Yain is going through din. Very harsh din. Let's go to the next pasuk. What do you say? And Hashem said, Ata chastal kikayan, you had compassion over the eucalyptus tree, the kikayan tree. That means that because of what you can get out of it, like Yana said. But it meant something to you. It had meaning to you, not for its own right, but because of what you can get out of it. Ashloya maltaboy, you didn't toil. Yana, did you plant the eucalyptus tree? You didn't do it. Blaigidaltai, you didn't raise it, that means you didn't water it every day and prune it and make sure that it got shade. Shabin Laila Haya, it grew overnight, the bin Laila oven, it disappeared overnight. You'll notice that here we switched to Shem Havaya, Yitke Vavke, because now Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to express his compassion, his Rachmanis. We switched back into Rachmanis mode. Kadosh Baruch Hu made himself very clear to Yerna that a city could survive for two reasons. One is because it survives for its own right. It deserves it by virtue of what goes on there, what the inhabitants do. And Nineveh doesn't deserve to live. The city Nineveh doesn't have the schusim to live. But there's something that emanates, that emerges from Nineveh. Nineveh was an Ir HaGdolah, Pashut Pshat. It was a tremendous city. There was power there. There was largesse. It was a tremendously large city. And if anybody that looked at Nineveh in the proper light saw what a godless. Look at all the forces in this city. And if somebody saw it properly, then they attributed that to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nineveh itself didn't deserve to live. It didn't deserve it. It didn't act properly. They were mushchasim. They were corrupt. But it's Kiddushim Shemayim from tremendous things. The Pasuk says, Malay Kala Aretz Kavayda. The whole world is filled with its covered. Nothing exists unless there's some kind of covered that can come from it. You could have covered to Kadosh Baruch Hu from an evil city that's permitted to exist. Look at the Erech HaPayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So much wickedness, and Hashem still allows it to exist. That's Kvod Shemayim. Kvod Shemayim, that is such a tremendous city. There's such a power. It's awesome. And that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the capabilities of a city to be so big. And it's quite Shemayim when ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys it. And it's quite Shemayim when they do tshuva. Even a small amount of tshuva. There's so many aspects of quite Shemayim. So the city, they don't deserve it. They didn't do tshuva properly enough to deserve it for their own rights. But the shade of the eucalyptus tree. The eucalyptus tree? We don't need this eucalyptus tree. There's plenty of eucalyptus trees. Enough to supply the world with enough shem and kick for all our needs. We don't need it. You need the shade that comes from the eucalyptus tree. The shade is not the tree. The tree is not the shade. The shade emanates from the tree. So Yaina was besimcha over the shade. He wasn't besimcha over the tree. Yaina was betzar over the loss of shade, not over the loss of the tree. Hashem is telling Yaina, you didn't even invest in this tree. It wasn't here for a long time. It's not. It didn't remain. And still, for the time that it was there, you had such a simcha gedayla, and such a tzar that it's gone. So can't you understand that the city is here for its shade, for the Kvayt Shemayim? And that's why it's there. And that's the answer to your question, Yaina. Now the mom echoes this. The mom says we have a precedent for this word, for the word chasta. And the mom said, yeah, the Ram expressed this in terms of word etymology. She said, he asked Akasha, why does the pasuk use the word chas? You know, chas for chalila, chas for shalom. Why don't we use the word rachim? Vichamta. Chas is something, it's not very common. It's not commonly found. Rachmanis is Rachmanis. And here the Hashem uses a term, a specialized term. And what is the difference between Rachmanis and Chas? Why are the two words for the same thing? We know that there's no repetition in words. They all, you know, if there's two words for something, then it's for it's to express a different slant. We find the word chas by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef told his brothers, "Veinechem al tochus al kleichem." He wants them to run back to Yaakov Avinu. Wants them to run back. Moment. In Parshas Vayigash, tell the brothers when he. After he is following the revelation, he revealed himself to his brothers. Vayigash, Perek Memhei, Posukav, Ve'einchem al tochus al kleichem. Their eyes shouldn't have compassion on your vessels, on your utensils. Don't have compassion on them. That's strange. I'm in love with my shaver's brush, my shaving brush. I have such rachmanis on it. Einchem al tochus al kleichem. Don't have compassion. Don't have rachmanis on your vessels, on your utensils, on your iPod. What is that? You know, that's impossible. That's an impossible definition. The end of the pasuk says, "Kituv kol eretz Mitzrayim lachemu." Mitzrayim is open in front of you. You need anything, you get it. So he was telling them. He said, "Don't worry. When you come to, you know, when you go to Eretz Yisrael." Don't you have to pack up everything? Get here as soon as possible. Go there. Please bring Yaakov Avinu down here. Don't worry about packing up, because anything you need, anything you need, you can get over here. Free. So you don't have to take anything. So the mom says, what's shut? That they're worried. Why would they pack things up? Because they might need something. And Yeshua says, you know, if you need anything, your needs will be met. Because anything you need, you can get here. So you don't have to worry about your needs. So leave your kelim behind. Because you don't really need your kelim. You don't need a shaver. You need to shave with a shaver. Understand? Mm. Nobody needs a shaver. You need the shaving of the shaver.
So how is he going to shave without a shaver?
This is because all your needs will be met here. Here you can get shavers
can get
to
shaver.
Fill your needs. So you don't have to bring your vessels. Al-Tachais means that you don't have, you know, it's a lashon of being concerned about being concerned about something which comes out of a kelim. You don't have to be worried about what's, you know, the use that you get from your kelim, because you can get the use out of different kelim. It doesn't matter which kelim you have. If you're attached to your teddy bear, I'll get the exact same one here. No, this is my teddy bear. I'll get the exact same one. But if you're not attached, you're attached to the comfortable feeling you get when you snuggle up to your teddy bear. I'll give you that same feeling over here, an even better one. So the mom brings it right here from there, that the word chus is an expression of an emotion, the expression of a midah over something which is derived from something. Atachastal kikoyen, you had strong feelings of care for something which came with the use, the shade which came out of it. And that's the same expression that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to use for Nineveh. Hashem will have chusana alamecha. Chusana, when we daven chusana alamecha, when we daven that Hashem should have compassion on us, so we're saying Hashem should have rachmanas on us, because maybe we have some inherent value.
Maybe he could destroy the city and just have that benefit.
Yeah. The benefit of it, of the benefit that's accrued by it not being destroyed, he won't have. He'll have a different benefit. He'll have the Kiddush Hashem of destroying it. But he doesn't want... What?
What you said before about Nineveh is not that it's the city, it's just that the Kiddush Hashem that exists when there is a big city that people see.
The big city that Hashem is... Chapayim, there's more than one angle.
You could get that.
How?
I don't know.
Okay. So when you figure out a way, you let me know.
We're using that lesson to say that you don't need the thing, you just need the product of it.
Right, so that means the thing has to... Then you do need the thing. You need the thing because you can't distill the product from the thing.
This is not different than what we were saying before. We're just bringing...
No, he's medayik it from the pasuk. He's bringing a parallel. The word, the difference between the word rachem and chus.
This is what we just said before.
It's the same thing. I said that he takes it one step further because he shows us where it comes from in the pasuk. There's a point which is brought out. There's a commentator on Megillus, on Sefer Yoin. His name is Harav Bachrach. He wrote a Sefer. He's contemporary. And he leaves us hanging with a question here, which I'm going to leave you with also. Do you see, the focus here is on the Kikayon. He was happy because he had the Kikayon. he was brokenhearted because he lost the Kikayon. Hashem gives him Techach about the Kikayon. And it doesn't seem like, you know, like anything was mentioned about his sukkah. Like the sukkah seems to be ignored here.
Because he did invest in the kikayon. The kikayon was something he didn't invest
in. It's the sukkah he did invest in. So rightfully, it's like he sort of ignored.
Sukkah didn't keep him alive.
Sukkah didn't keep him alive. You're saying it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Well, it kept him alive. It kept him alive until the sun was directly overhead.
It didn't give the greatest benefit.
Didn't give the greatest benefit.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's just an interesting point. I mean, according to the Mefarshim, that the simcha of the Kikayon was that Hashem is showing him that he's entering the tefillahs. So that's why the sukkah wouldn't be mentioned, because you don't get that message when you build your sukkah yourself.
Right.
All right, let's go on. Ani le'achus, and I shouldn't have chus, I shouldn't have this compassion on Nineveh. It's a big city. It has within it harbe much more mishtemis rei ribe adam. 120,000 people.
100 or?
120. Shtemesh Tishrei Rebbe. Shtemesh Tishrei is 12 and Rebbe is 10,000. 12 times 10,000, 120,000. Shaliyah de Benyamin l'Smailai. That they don't know the difference between right and left. Ubehema Rabba. And an abundance of behemoths. Abundance of behemoths. So the Abar Benel says, he echoes, he goes along the same halach that we said before. Hashem calls it Ira Gdaila because it's a Tiferes. This is a representation. It proclaims Hashem's glory. The greatness of the city proclaims Hashem's glory. And if Yaina felt pain over the loss of the Kikayan, which is not such a glorious sample of vegetation, so Kal v'chaymer, Kadosh Baruch Hu, would want to spare the city that brings us so much glory. That's why he calls it Ira Gdaila. So first of all, the city has much greater proportions than Kikayon. The city itself, it's a great city. And the Kikayon it's a Kikayon. It has 276 leaves. But the city, it's a 3-day journey. It's a great city. And then if Yaina is saying, but it's not the actual Kikayon, it's the shade that comes from the Kikayon. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is, it's the Kavod Hashem that comes from the city. So Hashem is addressing both arguments. The Baba now brings you on the Rambam. The Rambam says the same exact thing, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with tzaddikim with hashkacha pratis. And you could have a mansion or a palace that could have been built a long time before. You could have something standing for hundreds of years. And it was a building project of great proportions. There was so much money and skill was invested in it. It built this tremendous structure. And for hundreds of years, it fulfilled absolutely no purpose. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought it all about because Hashem knew that hundreds of years later there's going to be a tzaddik and he's going to be walking and the sun is beating down on him and it's hot and he's thirsty and there's no vegetation in Shait and there's no trees. And he'll see this tremendous building which nobody ever used, or they used it for all kinds of pointless uses. And he'll say, he'll sit down in the shade. He'll rest his weary feet. He'll benefit from the cool shade of this building. And he'll go, this whole building could be for the Nineveh is there for its shadow. The Kikayon was there for its shadow. Nineveh is there for its shadow. It's part of Hashem's master plan. Hashem has a plan. And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, this place has to be there. And it's not there because of its own right. It's there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it there. We talk about the people. There are a lot of people. A lot of people. That's the same theme. A lot of people, a lot of covered. But they don't know the difference between their right and left. The mom says, what does it mean not to know the difference between right and left? They didn't know which hand to do the tails you die on in the morning. Right and left in Chazal, for example, when you're fighting, Chas v'Shalom, but let's say when you're practicing being a pugilist. What's a pugilist?
I guess a fighter.
A boxer.
Okay.
So then you lead with the right arm, and you protect your middle body with the left arm.
You lead with the left.
No, if you're righty, you lead with your left. No.
You lead like this.
Mm-hmm.
No, when you're like this, when your hands extended.
Am I right?
Oh, you mean when you throw the punch?
Yeah, when you throw the punch.
Yeah.
Because your right arm is stronger than your left arm. And your left arm is there to protect you, because you have two arms, and that's the one that's left. It would be nice if you had two strong arms, but you choose to deliver the blow with the arm that has the most power. So that means that the right arm is the ikar, and the left arm is there to assist, but it's not part of the picture. You're unlikely to knock him out with the left arm because it just doesn't deliver the same amount of, the same punch, the same. Lashon Chazal, right is the ikar, and the left is something which is there to secondary, to assist. It's only there for one reason, to assist the ikar. So Malm applies this to his pasuk. The Yamin is Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means piercing through all the veils, not being confused by all the false messages that are generated in creation, and worshipping the one and only. That's the Iker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all kinds of things in this world to make that a challenge, and one of them is called Teva. The laws of nature. The laws of nature are integral. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs them. He wants them. They're part of his plan. But they're not the goal. The laws of Teva are there in order to present us with a challenge that we should see through them. When an apple falls off a tree, it falls down because God wants it to fall down, not because of the laws of nature. And if God would want it to go up, it would go up. And that's our avodah, is to see that. There's no such thing as an immutable law of nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly reinforcing the laws of nature. That means when an apple falls down, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing it to fall down. He just does it all the time, so it looks to us like it's a law. But there are no laws of nature.
I read recently in Ari Kaplan that it wouldn't be impossible for a ball, instead of if you drop a ball, you always goes down, but it would not be impossible, you would say it goes beyond the laws of nature if it would go up.
Because reason why, there are no laws of nature.
Right, but
it just looks like it. A Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the appearance of laws of nature. So the Teva is important to Hashem's plan. Now the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's two purposes to the laws of nature. One is a challenge to the Jews, and the other is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really doesn't want to have to deal with Goyim. They don't deserve it, by nature of who they are and what they are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we need Goyim around also. They have a purpose. But for their needs, we could just have set up a general autopilot set of rules. And then that'll make sure that the Goyim don't become extinct. Because we want them around. But Hashkacha Pratis and each and every Goyim, every movement that he makes, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't deal with them. They don't have that kind of relationship. Because they chose not to. It's their own choosing. So the people of Nineveh, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yena, we live in a world that's very hard to see the emes. We live in a world where the forces of nature, and including the Kekasatoma and Kishuv, they're very prominent to Goyim. And to a guy, it's very difficult for him to discern and determine the difference between worshipping God and worshipping the forces that God created. Like the Rambam says, the original Avodah Zarah, he said, listen, there's a king and there's ministers, and if you honor the ministers, that's a form of honoring the king. So we believe in God. He created the heavens and the earth, but he created the sun, he created the moon, he created the forces of nature, he created the wind and the waters. So we are going to honor God by deifying, by giving honor to these heavenly bodies. And this is appealing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is presenting this to Yaina, that these are people that it's very difficult for them to know any better. And Hashem, he created these forces for the Goyim. That means the Goyim have a natural affinity to be attracted to these things. Because it's so much harder for them to see through it. Because they don't get Hashkacha Pratis. When you don't get Hashkacha Pratis, so it's very hard to see past it. When everything is random, when everything is coincidental, so it's very hard to come to Emunah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that's why you deal differently with Goyim. They did Shuvah, a little bit of Shuvah they did. They deserve credit for that. He said, but Klal Yisrael, I have a relationship with them. I want them to speak to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu says he wants them to speak to him. They daven to him. Hashem listens. He answers the tefillah. They get nisim v'niflois. Anisecha shebechayim mimanu. They have a shkacha pratis. They see there's a shkacha pratis. They don't have the same excuse as the people of Nineveh. That's what's meant by people that don't know the difference between the right and left. The Abba Brunel, he says the same thing. In other words, he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying they don't know the difference between right and left. That means that they don't have Torah. I didn't give them the Torah. What do you expect from people that don't have the Torah? It's very similar to what we said from the Malvim. How do you expect them to come to the truth if they don't have the tools to do it? They don't have the Torah.
From Abba Brunel?
That's Abba Brunel. Behema Rabba.
Anyone interpreted as being like kids?
Yeah. Behema Rabba, there's a few pshatim Behema Rabba. Rashi says Behema Rabba. You know, is an even deeper madrega of ignorance. That you could have someone that is aware of who created him, but he worships the forces. He worships the constellations. He worships the force of nature. But when it comes down to it, he knows who created him. He has a concept of a higher being, a supreme being. He just worships the wrong ones. Behema Rabba is pushing an animal. An animal is, he doesn't even have that. He's not, you know, not even a human being. Human being, what sets a human being apart from an animal? A human being has the seichel to know that there's something, someone above him, some power above him. An animal doesn't have intellect. He knows nothing. An animal knows where, he knows if he, you know, he knows who feeds him. Doesn't know who created. An animal doesn't know who created. He doesn't have that kind of process to know, like we know, who created him. The Abba Brunel says, Behema Rabba. He said like this. He says the phrase. It says harbe mishtemes v'ribe adam asher lo yada ben yamin and l'smaylai, that they don't know the difference between their right and their left. That's referring to children. So according to Abba Brunel, there's a lot more people than according to the other mepharshim. Because according to the other mepharshim, the number 120,000 is referring to the people. According to the Abba Brunel, that's referring to the children. Because if every child has two parents, so then you multiply 120,000 by the parents.
No, it could
and
be.
A parent could have 10 kids, I know what I'm saying, but it's a lot more.
Still a lot more.
Well, this is only a part of them. Only 120,000 out of whatever there are don't know right from left.
Yeah, well, that's an expression used to describe children, because children, they don't know the difference between the right and the left.
That
means
the person that holds honor, it just means the people, doesn't mean all the people.
No, it doesn't mean, right. Yeah, so you're taking issue with my senses. Okay, it could be I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just, neither do I. Behema Rabba, the Barbara says a Chiddush. He explains it L'Shevach. That there are people in Nineveh that don't enjoy the chatayim that they did. They don't have an enjoyment. Lo tam u tam chet. They don't get a geshmak out of chet. That means there is some righteousness in. So there's, you know, Hashem is pointing out to Yaina that despite the fact that the city is overburdened with iniquity, with rishis, but there's over 120,000 children that they don't know the difference between the right and the left. And they're Behema Rabba. There's people that are like behemoths. A behemoth, shall I have to have a chet by a behemoth? I mean, a behema could break something down, but is that a chet? Does that become a part of him? Is it a tam chet? Like a behema. There's people in Ninveh, their mama's like a behema. You can't say on them that they're balei chataim. Tom Cat. I'm sorry, that was from the Yaakov Amleis, not the Ababana. Made a mistake. Yaakov Amleis says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaina, the city deserves to live because if the parents die, then the kids are going to die. You can't just leave the kids. So the parents have to live for the kids. The Barbanel argues on the Yaakov Amleis. And he says that it can't be the children. Kadosh Baruch Hu would never tell Yaina that the city is to be spared because of the children. And the Barbanel brings a raya. By near any dachas. Avram Stein, yeah. Yeah, Avram didn't daven because of the kids. That's a good raya. No, he mentioned tzaddikim. By Yerani Dakas, they have a city that every single adult member of the city is involved in Avodah Zarah. So then the entire city is destroyed without regard for the children. If Ninveh had a status of Yerani Dakas, then the children wouldn't be a factor. So that's why Barbanel argues. And he says his pshat. I'm going to ask, could someone bring me, please. 1 second.
What?
Yaakov Amleis on Sefer Yain. I want to read you.
Where is it?
Yaakov Amleis.
What?
Yain?
Yain,
yeah.
Leave it alone.
Where did you want to go after? What happened after this?
Well, according to one child, he lost his Navua. He just.
It seems like he's dead. Because
he didn't die.
What happened to him? Where'd he go?
He didn't die. She did not die. He wanted to die. He wanted to die.
He's like, you're dying. He's like, oh, you didn't throw that. He had this little conversation.
Yeah, so I'll, you know, the Yaakov Amleis sheds light on this matter. Thank you. Tiskel Mitzvahs.
Amen.
The Yaakov Amleis sheds light. What happened to you? What's the epilogue? What is the epilogue? Why did Yaina die? Did he not die?
Dirty now.
Why is it shock? Why is it shock? The Kadosh Baruch Hu ended. Hashem finished speaking. And he let the message sink in. But why is it shock? At that instant, at that moment, Nafal Yena upon Av, Yena fell on his face. Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vam Lefanav, Ribayinu Shel Olam, Klumi Lefanach HaMidas HaDin, Midas HaDin should not be in front of you. He did an about face. V'Midas HaRachamim Tanis Elamecha. You should govern your world with the Midah of compassion of Rachamim. V'no Alecha Silan, you should be praised for doing so. Shekein Ksiv L'Hashem Elokein HaRachamim HaSlichas. Hashem is known. He's known by that name, the God of Rachamim. Shenema kikel Rachamim Hashem lekecha. Uksiv mikel kamoik anoisi avain. Uksiv chesed Hashem malacha haaretz. God's chesed, God's kindness, fills the world. I mean, this sefer, the sefer of Yaina. When you see the sefer of Yaina, you understand it with its many ramifications. You see what it means. Chesed Hashem malay haaretz. Malacha Haaretz. It fills the world. It means there's no part of the world, there's no corner, there's no Chesed Hashem. There's no blind spots. If there's a makom for Hashem's Chesed to penetrate, it goes in. Even Ninveh. V'layayid. El shatu yeshiv akisei rachamim. Your throne is a throne of rachamim. Rachamim b'yamincha, rachamim is in your right hands. I think we can understand what that means. Rachamim is in your right hands. That's the ikar. Din is referred to as the left hand because Hashem doesn't view the goal of the world to be punished or restricted by din. That's just a tool Hashem uses in order to nudge people back in the right direction, back to the rachamim. Chesed mafanecha, bedus meacharecha. These are the main midas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Any other mida is just there in order to get people back on the right track. A father's ikar relationship with his son is not that he smacks him up. That doesn't define the relationship. It brings many pesukim. She'ein mi kiyasa kemasecha chigvurasecha. There is no one that could ever do what you did, Hashem. Yafa asisa, yafe, it's beautiful. Yafa pa'alta, what you did is beautiful. Yafa richamti, your rachamim is beautiful. Yafa chananta, your loving kindness is beautiful. Yafa salachti, your forgiveness is beautiful. Yafa karatlam shtachay vasam, God ripped up the ksav bezdin. He ripped up the gzardin. It was written down. Hashem ripped it up. Yafni chamta al daitam. Mika chamaicha, who is like you? Kula tishbachais. Kisacha sehila, kvaitcha tifara, asher masi yadecha n'imim. Your ways are so pleasant, they're so beautiful. Kufcha Yeshua, you are the essence of salvation. Hashem doesn't save. Hashem is the essence of salvation. Panacha kemeiko, all light emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no light. There's no light source except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enechem Mekor Kol Zohar, the shining, the shine, the thing that lights things up, the brilliance that fills the world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Picha Emes, and everything you say is true. So Zachach Chaim, life comes from your mouth. That is the source of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes Chasecha Agud L'Asheris Nachlasecha. And now he's talking about Hashem's relationship with Klal Yisrael. You prepare the rachamim ahead of time, constantly. You make on the averus so that the Klal Yisrael should have the strength to be mechabed you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Klal Yisrael ultimately is the only nation that's going to give him covet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mechabed the averus because he wants Klal Yisrael to be around, so that they can give him covet, so they can enhance it. Klal Yisrael is Hashem's covet in this world. Shnei Melamani is Amecha covet. Klal Yisrael should live to sing the praises of Hashem's covet. V'la'idayim, we shouldn't be silenced. Hashem Elokai Le'elam Edekah. Hashem is my God, I will praise you forever. So the Sefer ends with Yainis Tshuva.
You think so, he did Tshuva?
Yes.
And where'd he go?
Good. Finally got the parashas.
Because I'll tell us he's Mashiach ben Yosef.
What is that?
So he did whatever.
Is he for sure? Is that about something else?
What?
Is it about, I heard someone say someone else was
there. How do we know he did the tshuva?
They said
it was someone else.
Yeah, okay,
you just
did it.
Well,
Davin HaMelech, you know, no, it's
Mamlois.
I don't know who they said it was.
It's not mutually exclusive of one another. Well, there's a process. It could take a chain of people to produce Mashiach ben Yosef. David HaMelech is Mashiach. Adam is Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is Mashiach. They're all called Mashiach in Chazal because it's a process of producing Mashiach, and they all contribute. And in their generation, they could have been it. And they passed it on.
Now? He's alive?
I don't know. But he made a shvur that he's going to drag the Leviathan out by its tongue and bring him as a carbon, so he's going to keep his word.
Who made the shvur?
A Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to Yeshua, b'mehir b'yameinu, v'shnela, the sooner the better. Amen. Selah. Chazak chazak v'nitzchazek.
Amen. My mother baked the what?
What is the Abba Rosa? The argument says that by Yerdin Dafas, the children were killed also. What is he?